either coat of swing. It's just about ready to do that thing. I don't want no tears, I don't want no lies. Above all, I don't want no alibis. This judge is hip, and that ain't all. He'll give you time if you're big or small. Fall in line or this coat is neat. Peace, brother.
Lord, here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. Everybody know that he is the judge.
Everybody, near and far, I'm going to Paris to stop this war. All those cats got to listen to me, because I am the judge and you can plainly see. I want a big round table when I get there. I won't sit down to wonder square. I'm gonna lay down the law, they better not budge. I bust some head because I am the judge.
He is the judge, he is the judge. Everybody knows that he is the judge.
Oh yeah.
Eyes.
Eyes
who? Kind of thought that was funny. That's Pigmeat Martin. Here come the judge. You remember Here Come the Judge? There was a whole bunch of people that kind of made a play on those lines. Well, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It's Monday, September 21st. It is the last day of summer. Would you believe it? We'll be talking in a few minutes with Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk about the vital importance of the Constitution, especially now with the Supreme Court election and all kinds of finger pointing and hypocrisy going on regarding the replacement of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Now, does Trump have the moral obligation to wait or to select now? Which one is it? We're going to talk about that with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi. And did you know that there are very few homes available right now on the market in terms of history? People, because of the pandemic apparently, are not selling, and there's lots of people looking. We'll talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, a good one for you, the top 10 most bizarre deaths in history. Wow. Can't wait to find out myself. Freedom Works. We are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. For you guys, it's the best place in Tampa Bay to get your haircut. I am telling you, the price is great. The place is spick and span. And the haircutters themselves, oh man, the pièce de résistance. But you gotta call for a reservation. 727-733-3773. 733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. And by the way, a plug again to Good Morning Clearwater. They're Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. They precede my show here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen, they do a wonderful job. You got to start your morning with Good Morning Clearwater. All right. Well, I can't wait to talk with Hans von Spakovsky. To tell you the truth, I booked this interview before the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But Hans is a legal expert at the Heritage Foundation, and we were going to talk about the Constitution and how critical it is right now for us all with the election coming up. But now, with the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, perhaps the Constitution is even more vital. So we'll talk about all of that. Boy, take your corners, right? Look at the Republicans and Democrats since Friday night when this thing started. By the way, our respects to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You can tell by the tributes that are pouring in from both sides of the aisle that she was a respected woman on that court. And she was a hardworking woman that fought for everything that she got. She was born, I believe, in Brooklyn. And so we mourn, as does the rest of the nation, on the death of that very fine woman. In the meantime, President Trump today says he's narrowed his list of replacements to 5 people. I think, and I thought this on Friday night, the moment I heard it, I thought, if there is a Hispanic judge that's a female and it comes from an important state, she's going to have the inside track. And there is one. There is one. She's a Cuban. And her name is Barbara Lagoa. She's on the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. And she would help seal up the Spanish vote. She's certainly, the Cuban vote is already in Donald Trump's corner. But the Hispanic vote in general is an important vote in this election. So it always comes down, and I can't remember a time when a judge was selected purely on merit. There was always politics, and who was going to be, especially near an election. So my money is on Barbara Lagoa. She is 52 years old. And the only other judge that I heard much about was Amy Coney Barrett. She's from the 7th Circuit Court of Appeals. She's very pro-life. And very conservative. They both are very conservative. They both are strict constitutionalists, which means they would follow the letter of the Constitution and interpret what the Founding Fathers' intent was when it comes to the particular matter that is being considered. So nobody that is conservative would be unhappy with either one of those picks. But Florida is just too vital right now. And the Hispanic vote is just too vital right now. I don't see how Barbara Lagoa is ignored. In the meantime, you know that the Democrats have gone apoplectic. You name the person that's, and we can talk about them, Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader, apoplectic. Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, apoplectic. Even the discussion of impeachment has reared its ugly head again. She was talking with What's His Head on ABC, who used to be in the Clinton campaign and is now an ABC moderator, if you want to call it that. And she told him they'll use every arrow in their quiver, basically. But the Democrats also threatened to pack the court, to add seats to the court. We're at 9 right now. Would not be the first attempt. Franklin Delano Roosevelt made it a point when he became president, 1933, to try to get the number of justices up to 12. But it didn't work. I don't think it's going to work at this point either. But there is a growing number of people on the Democratic side that are thinking about implementing that strategy. You know that they want everybody to wait until after the election. And a case could be made that the Republicans are becoming, the Republicans are hypocritical. They would not let Merrick Garland get a vote in the Senate, thanks to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell in the final year of Barack Obama's presidency when he tried to get a vote on it. Now, he did nominate, but McConnell said, no thanks, I don't think we'll take a vote on this one. So now Trump's in office. There's about 4 months left in his first term. And what did McConnell say now? Well, in this particular case, we've got a president and a Senate that are in the same party. Therefore, we should take a vote. When Obama was in, we had a president and a Senate of opposite parties. And there has been no vote when that was the case since 1870 on a Supreme Court justice. Well, his history is correct. I don't know whether or not the logic stands up. Anyway, we're going to take our break now. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about, a lot about the Constitution, and we're going to talk a lot about how it now reflects on the judicial election.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back and delighted to have Hans von Spakovsky with us. And Hans, I guess it's rather timely that we have you on. You are a senior legal fellow, of course, at the Heritage Foundation. We were originally going to talk about the Constitution and how it's so important and so relevant today. And then Ruth Bader Ginsburg passes away Friday night, or at least we are informed of it. And all of a sudden we're talking about... Well, I guess you could call it this imbroglio developing between Republicans and Democrats as to whether or not Trump should select a judge for consideration before the election. So I wanted to ask you this. How might our Constitution be a factor in this Supreme Court imbroglio?
Well, look, you know, all due respect to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and my sympathies go out to her family, but in her several decades on the court, as the most liberal member of the court, she probably did more damage to the Constitution and the rule of law than any justice that has ever sat on the U.S. Supreme Court bench. And I say that with all respect to her. Look, the best assessment of her was by Justice Antonin Scalia. You know, they were best friends.
Yes.
And they were best friends. And he really liked it. You know, what he once said about her, paraphrasing it, is, you know, he really liked her personally, even though she was completely wrong on all the legal issues that the court faced. And look, she was the main person behind taking the court out of the role of applying the Constitution, applying the laws as written and passed by Congress, and instead turning the Supreme Court into a super legislative body that basically legislated from the bench, found or created rights that don't exist in the Constitution, and would rewrite statutes that she didn't like in order to achieve the goals, the policy outcomes that she wanted.
Yeah.
So this is a really important seat, and one that we've got to get someone who's a believer in the rule of law into.
What do you think of the names you've heard bandied about not only by President Trump, by others as well in the Republican Party, two women in particular on circuit courts. They sound to me to be quite conservative. Do you have a preference yourself, or do you want to make mention of either one of them?
No, I don't have a preference. I mean, I do know more about Judge Amy Coney Barrett than I do Judge Lagoa. But as you said, they look and they sound pretty good. They have good records. You know, the key thing is to not just get someone who is a believer in the rule of law and that courts are supposed to interpret the law, not make the law. But frankly, it's also important to get somebody who has had to stand in the arena, as President Teddy Roosevelt once said, and despite the slings and arrows thrown at them by liberals and editorial pages, has stood firm in their beliefs and has not backed down or changed. And that's a key factor. I mean, frankly, the best kind of lawyer we could get on the Supreme Court, Paul, is someone who is not only a conservative, like I said, who believes in the rule of law, applying the Constitution, but who doesn't give a darn what the mainstream media and the editorial pages say about it.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. It's going to be a woman. You would think that the Democrats, we are assuming, of course, here that that this will be the, let's say, if the scenario is that either of those two conservative women are nominated, do you think they're going to get hit with even more tar than Neil Kavanaugh, a male, and the way he was treated? I don't know if it could be worse than that. Will it approach that?
Oh, I think it'll be worse.
Really?
And I do think it'll be worse because liberals have gotten it into their mind that this is a liberal seat. Okay, there's no such thing on the Supreme Court. You know, presidents are able to nominate whoever they want, and there aren't conservative seats, there aren't liberal seats. It's just that Ruth Bader Ginsburg held this seat for a very long time. So the idea that a conservative might get into this liberal seat and actually give us the extra vote we need. Because remember, one of the problems we've had, we had it with Justice Kennedy, we're now having it with Chief Justice Roberts, is people who, you know, most vote conservative a lot of the times, they will switch and give the four liberals in the past that fifth vote they need to win. We saw that happen again in the last term of the Supreme Court with Chief Justice Roberts voting the wrong way with the liberals on several cases and having that sixth vote to basically override the Chief Justice when needed is that's something we've got to get onto the court.
You know, it's interesting. Every time one of the justices kind of changes his or her stripes, it's always been a conservative going to a liberal. How come we can't have a liberal changing his stripes to conservative?
You know, that is so true. And I don't know what it is about Washington. Maybe it's something in the water that doesn't affect liberals, but it does seem to affect, you know, judges appointed by Republicans who they get to Washington and all of a sudden they start transforming into a liberal.
We're talking with Hans von Spakovsky. As you can tell, he knows what he's talking about when it comes to legal situations. He's the senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Hans, we were going to talk with you about the Constitution. And, you know, I was trying to look and see what the Constitution has to say about this whole mess now. Of course, we know that the president nominates and the Senate votes. And that's about it on the Constitution, right?
Right.
So everything else is kind of political here, right? And we are sure that if the shoe were on the other foot, and let's say Hillary Clinton was the president and all of this happened, they wouldn't have wasted a moment to come out and say that they were going to go ahead and select somebody. So we can put all the politics aside. Both sides are a bit, do you not feel a bit hypocritical?
Well, you know, the difference, I think, and people aren't seeing this, is that it's not just that we're in a presidential election year, but the difference is in 2016, Barack Obama was in the final year of his presidency. He wasn't running for re-election, and he did not control the Senate. So the same parties did not control the White House and the Senate. Here, the president is running for re-election, so it's not potentially it might be the end of his term, but it might not. Plus, the same party controls the White House and the Senate, and that really is the key difference. As you said, it's been the late 1800s since someone was confirmed when we had that dichotomy. On the other hand, we have had nominees confirmed in a presidential election year when a president was running for president, and two big heroes of the left, Harold Wilson, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, are examples of that.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Roosevelt, he tried to pack the court, didn't he?
Yes, he made that threat, and we've already heard that threat over the weekend from people like Eric Holder, saying that if President Trump puts forward a nominee and he or she is confirmed, that Democrats need to move to immediately pack the court. It was just as bad of an idea. It's just as bad an idea now as it was in the 1930s when Franklin Roosevelt made that threat.
Do you think, Hans, that they would actually take a vote before the election? It seems to me that maybe they won't, because we've only got a few weeks left, 6-7 weeks left on that. Would they have time? Could they do it? Could they take a vote before the election in November 3rd?
They could. It all depends on, frankly, Senator McConnell and the Republican caucus. Does he have the vote to do it? Or are there enough potential defectors like Mitt Romney and Susan Collins to make it impossible for him to push that through? And that, of course, is the big question in Washington today. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. Well, we've got the senator from Alaska, and we've got the senator from Maine, and now we may have the senator from Utah. We're not sure. That would be three Republicans. We're assuming that all of the Democrats will vote against. Would they have enough? They would still have enough votes. Would it be a fourth defector that would have to show up for?
I believe so.
Okay,
I forget what the exact number is.
Well, the vice president can break the tie.
Right. Yes, the president can break the
vice president.
Yeah, the tie. Yeah.
So McConnell will do some head counting. Maybe he'll realize that they don't have the votes. Maybe, or he's not sure. And then he might whisper in Trump's ear and say, you know what, we're not sure. Just go out and win the election. I don't know. It'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Murkowski of Alaska claims she's only doing it because it's the fair thing to do.
Oh, please.
I know, but I'm beginning to wonder if Lisa Murkowski, senator from Alaska, is she really a Republican?
No. Remember, she got elected her last time as a supposed independent. Because remember, the voters, the Republican voters of the state, defeated her in the Republican primary. She didn't win the Republican primary. Someone else did, and she then ran as an independent.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Yeah.
So she's not really a Republican, so we can't count on her for anything.
No, I think that's...
What about our friend from Maine?
Clear. Well, Susan Collins...
Susan Collins.
Probably, yeah, she's one of the most moderate members of the Senate. She stayed strong when it came to Kavanaugh.
Thank God. She made an eloquent speech, I thought, in his defense. Go ahead.
No, I agree. So, you know, at the moment, I'm just not sure.
This is the most interesting... Would you call this the most... The most interesting judicial vote in your lifetime?
Yes.
I think it is, too.
I think so. I think so.
I thought, could things be more, I don't know what, we've got the pandemic, we've got, you know, even if we didn't have the pandemic and the Ruth Bader Ginsburg passing, it would still be the wildest election I think I would ever remember. It's just absolutely.
Well, yeah, and add on top of that the fact that we've had unbelievable violence and riots, arson, looting in cities all over the country. We've had law enforcement officials attacked. The formula here for problems, including just chaos, in the next 2 months is all there.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Fasten your seatbelt. Hans, it is always a pleasure to speak with you. We always have great conversations, and I thank you.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. Hans von Spakovsky, we are going to take our break. We're going to get some more interesting conversation going after the break when we talk with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tan Talk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. We are back on this last day of summer, by the way. You could also call it the first day of fall, could you not? It kind of falls right on this day. Anyway, we got all kinds of things falling right now, including we've lost a Supreme Court Justice on Friday night, and now they're even bringing up the I word, as in Democrats talking about possible impeachment if Trump goes ahead and nominates a judge like he is allowed to do. So here we go, Andrew, the master barber. As if things couldn't get more complicated and crazy, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I think she just tried to last until at least the end of the year, so that there was a chance that a Democrat president would replace her.
Well, she tried, but it didn't work.
No, it didn't work.
Let me ask you a question. They're all going crazy. Is President Trump the president in 49 days? Yes.
Yes, he is. He's going to be president for 4 more months almost.
That's what I'm saying. Now, what is his job, yes or no, to nominate or put in a new Supreme Court judge as soon as possible?
Yes.
Okay.
He has absolutely the right. And
that's right.
Some would say the responsibility as well, yes.
But does he stop being president because he's only got 4 months left?
Exactly right. And what would happen if we were attacked or there was all kinds, some important event occurred? Is he supposed to abdicate his duties because he's close?
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
He needs to put a judge in as soon as possible. Now, the only thing, I would make a different choice than him, to be honest with you.
Okay.
For the Supreme Court judge. I would have to put in Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Oh, Judge Jeanine Pirro, and she's on Fox all the time. In fact, I saw her this morning. What about Okay, well, what about this Barbara Lagoa, the Cuban from Florida?
Yeah, well, that's a good choice. I mean, you know, he's got the Cuban vote, and that might get the Hispanics going. And the other one...
And Florida. He needs Florida. He needs the state of Florida.
He's got Florida, Paul. Let me tell you. He's got Florida, okay? There was a Biden car parade this weekend. Oh, my God. They might have almost had 40 people. You know what? I was involved in two Trump parades this weekend, or Trump trains. And Ed was at the second one. And I can guarantee you, the second one alone, there was over 400 cars.
Wow.
I mean, that's 10 times the amount the so-called Biden train was. What does that tell you? People are fed up, Paul. Trump has got Florida. He don't need to pacify it no more. We need to take care of business.
Okay.
But yeah, those are good choices. But I'd like to see Judge Jeanine in there. I think she'd be dynamite.
Now, why is it specifically you like Judge Jeanine Pirro? Oh, maybe you just are.
She's got the personality. She's got the knowledge. She's not afraid to speak. She says it like it is, man. She does. Right on the money.
Yeah.
All the time.
She's a huge Donald Trump supporter.
No. Now you hear the rumors about Biden. Oh, they're thinking of naming Michelle Obama. Biden would name Michelle Obama to the Supreme Court. Could you imagine that? Does she even have a law license yet? Well, I thought it might have been revoked or something.
Yeah, no, she's... Well, it's not... I don't think it's revoked, but she's an amateur. That would look awfully bad. People know she doesn't have the background for that.
Okay, but that's what he thinks is going to get him votes, you know. But those are the rumors. But, you know, Trump needs to take this right now. He needs to take care of it. Get another judge put in there and get it over it. Impeachment. All they're doing is guaranteeing Trump the election.
I see a huge banner that Big Ed holds up, and it would take somebody big like Ed to hold it up. Trump 2020.
There you go.
Make America great again. It took up the whole window.
There you go.
So
there you go. He's on the right train.
Yeah. You know, I'm honestly telling you that I go back and forth on who I think is going to win, and I'm voting for Trump. But I start to hear about, for instance, the Hispanic vote. Forget about the Cubans. The Cubans have about 30% in Florida. So do the Puerto Ricans. But the Puerto Ricans tend to be...
What are you hearing about the Latino vote?
Well, the Latino vote needs to be shored up for Trump. The Latino vote... I mean, the Puerto Ricans are generally Democrats.
Yep.
The Mexicans...
They'll go either or.
But the Mexicans and the Puerto Ricans together make up a larger percentage of the Hispanic.
I heard that Trump is somewhere around 42% on the Latino votes, Paul.
You think so, huh?
That's what I hear in rumors.
Right,
and, you know, when he got elected, he got like 18%.
Yeah, I can't.
And then you had the black in 2016. He had like 6 and 8% of the black. Now they're saying Trump has got 52%.
Okay, that's an interesting thing. And it leads me to this. Biden is maintaining a national lead over Donald Trump. Now, we can argue about whether or not this is a correct poll.
Now, where did you hear that? Because I heard Donald Trump has got the lead over Joe Biden.
These are the results.
52%.
This is a new national NBC News Wall Street Journal poll. It finds Biden is ahead by 8 points. And also it finds that Biden's biggest advantage in the poll is among the blacks. He gets support from 90% of African Americans. Trump gets 5%. Now that's the latest.
Let me ask you a question again, Paul.
So here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. We can argue about which poll is accurate or if any of them are accurate, Andrew. But the truth is that every poll has Biden in front. Now,
let me ask you a question. They can't all be completely wrong. Who was the one? They all were wrong in 2016.
Well, they weren't. They actually predicted that Hillary Clinton would win the popular vote. She did, by 3 million votes. There were very close races in some of the key states. But as you looked at the latest polls, and those polls weren't as current as the national polls were at that moment, but a case could be made that, yes, they missed it because it was so close. But this is an 8-point lead right now.
So, Paul, I don't see it.
Okay.
I don't see it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm involved. I don't see it.
Yeah.
And who was it that you said you got this poll from? CBS and what times?
NBC News. Well, the NBC News Wall Street Journal poll.
There you go. Okay.
Yes,
give me a break.
But, Andrew, the Fox News poll is also the Fox News.
You also got Fox being infiltrated.
Well, here we go. So, is any poll accurate?
No. Okay. I don't believe none of them. I'm out there looking at seeing what's going on. I'm seeing reaction.
Yep.
I don't see the enthusiasm for Biden. I'm sorry. It's
no,
not there.
I agree with you on that 100%. I don't think there's any enthusiasm.
When you got 30 people at a Biden rally and you got 30,000 at a Trump rally, I'm sorry. I just don't see it, Paul.
No, I agree with you. And I think that the energy factor may win it for Trump. The energy and excitement of the people, of the Republicans, and independents and union people that used to be Democrats are probably not anymore. But I think that's going to make the difference if Trump wins. There's going to be more of them than the other side. You know what I mean?
Paul, I got union workers coming to my barber shop, okay? And one of my best friends, just a former best friend, is the president of the electricians union in the Southeast. And I know him personally for 30 years, and he was a Republican. I mean, if you knew the way he thought, how he talked, and what he was, he's a Republican, right?
Yes.
But now he's got this big six-figure job as the union president. Now all of a sudden he's a big Democrat walking around with a Black Lives Matter T-shirt on.
Yeah.
You know? And I just sit there and shake my head. And when I talk to all the people, I got about 10 electricians that come in my shop that all belong to the union. They said, oh, yeah, you got to hear your buddy up there talking about the Democrats, this, that. We all shake our head and we're all going out and vote for Trump.
Yeah, I agree. And I also, here's another constituency nobody talks about, the Jewish vote. The Jewish vote. I think typically the Jewish vote is liberal. But I think Donald Trump, I mean, look what Donald Trump has done for Israel.
It's funny you bring that up, Paul, because at the rally, at the one rally that I was at with Andrew, I saw some Israeli flags.
Yeah.
Never saw that before. Never saw
exactly.
that. Exactly. I said that on the air. We broadcast for about 10 minutes out there, and I saw that.
Yeah.
And getting in line with all those cars, going down Clearwater Beach, the parade, nobody blocked any traffic, nobody yanked anybody out of cars, there were no riots. I mean, hundreds of cars. And, yeah, there was a Biden car display, a car parade also. But I can tell you those four cars, they didn't cause any traffic problems.
Not even one flat tire.
They all made it through the green light.
Got right through the light.
Hey, tell us about what day was that?
That was Saturday.
What time did that parade go?
I was out there at 1 till about 2.
How large?
You know, Paul,
I couldn't count. I'd have to say well over 200, maybe 3, okay. Somewhere around there.
Okay.
There was closer between 4 and 5.
Well, they were parked all over the place, so I couldn't tell.
Okay.
I mean,
the
lot was full, and they kept coming in and parking elsewhere. So
okay,
yeah, so, the enthusiasm was phenomenal. That's why you can talk about all these polls you want. They may as well throw them out.
Yeah,
and you know what? I want to see if Biden shows up for the debate. Was it next Tuesday?
It's the 29th. Am I right about that?
Yes, it is. It's next Tuesday.
That's Tuesday, okay?
It's a week from tomorrow.
Let's see what happens at the debate if he shows up. My prediction is, let me see, the first debate is on the 29th. The second one's supposed to be like exactly 2 weeks after.
Hey,
I say he gets COVID, and he's got to be quarantined for 14 days.
Well, you know, I've heard a rumor that Rich Little... They're going to put a lot of makeup on Rich Little. You remember him, the impersonator?
I was the one who started that one.
And he's going to come out, and he's going to do the best damned Joe Biden impression you have ever seen. You're going to think it's Joe Biden.
Nothing past him. Nothing past him, Paul.
However, Joe Biden also just told us, I think he said that 200 million Americans have just died from COVID, which is very sad because that's about 70% of the entire population of our country. I didn't realize that many had died.
Well, you got his numbers mixed up.
I tell you, there was a lot of cars on the road for all those people being there.
I know. And Thomas Edison did not invent the light bulb.
Yeah, I heard that one too.
So this is why it's going to be the most watched debate, because you know that Joe Biden's going to say something completely out of his rear end, and so it'll be interesting.
That's why I don't think he's going to show up, Paul. You're going to have an excuse. You're going to get COVID. That's going to cover the 2 weeks for those so-called debates.
Yeah, but I wonder if, because he is going to show. I mean, we can say that he's not, but he is. If he didn't show, it'd be the end. What would he say, really? Oh, I can't make it. I don't feel good. Well, that would be the end of him.
He missed the bus.
Like you said, what's his name there is going to ask him? Do you like vanilla ice cream, Joe? That's going to be his question.
They weren't even that tough. Joe, how lousy a human being is Donald Trump? I mean, that's the kind of questions he would. And 16 of the 19 that were in with the questions were Democrats. How can they do that with a straight face? We're talking, by the way, of the ABC News. It certainly wasn't fair, that's for sure.
No, Paul, the fake news, the media is trying to take over everything. Listen, you even look at Biden's commercials. They're all freaking lies. Every one of them. They fact-checked his commercials. The guy's a nutcase.
Oh, yeah. Well, he says all kinds of things about how Trump is basically a racist. I get a little tired of them continuing to call him a racist. He's not.
Well, people are tired of all of this. I'm telling you, I'm still saying you're going to see California go.
That's amazing.
You can think what you want. I hear people talking. I see what's going on. And, you know, when you start hearing that, I can't see how you even talk of Joe Biden having a lead, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, it'll be an amazing thing. No question about it. And we are now, what, this is the 21st? So November the 3rd, wow, we're getting closer and closer. So let me ask you this, taking your feelings aside, and just from what you think is going to happen, do you think there will be a vote on
Oh, definitely. No question. Trump's going to get a judge. He's going to get a judge put in there.
Before the
election?
He's
not going to stop him. I guarantee it. I put money on it, he gets one.
Before the election?
Before the election,
He'll get a vote before the election.
That's all, no question about
it. Okay, well, listen, you're the man.
Well, did you see what the despicable Democrats did yesterday?
Which one?
Nancy Pelosi's at one podium. Then next is Schumer with his, at a podium. Uh-huh. Next to that, they had a stand and a photo of Ruth Bader Ginsburg there with, on the bottom, the words from a relative of hers that she said in her dying wish was that they do not elect another judge until a new president is sworn in.
Yeah.
Does her body
matter what her dying wish
her
was?
Her body's not even cold yet.
Well, his point is, look at the disrespect. They're all turning it political. And he's right.
Well, the morgue wouldn't give him the body and let him prop it up in front of the podium like that?
Here was another thought on that. And God bless and the repose of the soul of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But why didn't she, knowing that she was ill when Barack Obama was president, say, you know what, I'm going to step down now so we can get the chance of having a liberal judge replace me? But she decided to try to wait it out. People knew that she was getting ill. She was having cancer bouts when, you know. So
again,
that's another interesting
thing. The polls had Hillary Clinton winning. That's what they all were counting on.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and you know what? We're going to see what October is going to bring with the Barr investigation or the Durham investigation. Because, you know, I think we got a lot more coming out than just the judge nomination here and Nancy talking about impeachment. I think we might see some indictments as surprise.
Well, Andrew, our heads will explode.
They're going to be able to take it. Huh?
They can't take it.
That's what's going to happen.
I'm telling
you. Trump's got a surprise. The bowling ball is coming down the alley, buddy, and it's heading for the headpin.
And the headpin is Nancy Pelosi?
You got it.
Okay.
And the whole Democrat Party. Like I said, Comey, Brennan, Clapper, all of them.
Well, then fasten your seatbelts, my friend, and we're going to talk with you tomorrow.
You got it, buddy.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
All right, Paul, be good.
You too. All right, we're going to take a short break, and I mean a short break, and we'll be back. Freedom Works.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Boom, boom, acca-lacca-lacca, boom, 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 acca-lacca, boom, 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 acca-lacca.
We are back. Here comes the judge, right? Sooner rather than later? Well, we will find out. In the meantime, did you know that the pandemic has aggravated the housing market's long-standing lack of supply, and it's created a historic shortage of homes for sale? So, very, very interestingly, if you have a home right now, maybe a doggone good time to consider putting it up. I mean, if you're thinking of moving, putting it up there on the market, because there are not enough homes available right now. Buyers are accelerating purchase plans or considering home ownership for the first time, are rushing to get more living space as many Americans anticipate working from home, right? So they're looking for a nice home where they can work from. Many potential sellers, meanwhile, are keeping their homes off the market for the virus-related reasons. And the combined effect has created an extreme drought of houses. At the end of July, there were over about 1.3 million single-family homes available for sale. That's the lowest. 1.3 million is the lowest going back to 1982 for the month of July. And, you know, July is a good month to measure because in the summer, people tend to put their houses up for sale a little bit more than in the colder weather. So overall, for sale inventory was down 29% from a year earlier. So there you go. I wonder about that. I'll tell you that virus has done more to change our whole way of life than anything I can think of, and I don't know how long. So I got to ask you, Ed, do you notice I got my Lightning shirt on?
Yeah, but did.
And they took it on the chin, Ed. 4-1. What happened? I thought you were going to help us win that game.
Well, I think they just came out a little flat, and you know, there was so many close goals. I mean, off the iron, off the glove. I mean, it could have been 6-1. You know, with the Lightning scoring six, but.
Yeah, so in other words,
it didn't get it in there.
It's not necessarily that Dallas was better.
Yeah, they didn't wipe them out.
Right.
You know,
even though the score was 4-1.
Yeah, they got an empty netter at the end, but still.
I mean, so are the Lightning are going to win this game?
I think they come back tonight. I do. I think they come back tonight.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. In a way, I'm kind of glad. I want to see the Lightning win, but I'm glad it's going to be a tough series. It's fun to watch a tough series.
Yeah.
And what about our, as long as I'm thinking about it, what about our Tampa Bay Rays?
Yeah.
They have clinched a playoff spot.
They've got the playoff spot. They took 3 out of 4 from Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I believe the magic number to win the East is 3.
They can do it. They're in first place.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Right now they would be the number one seed because they've overtaken Chicago White Sox. The only better team in Major League Baseball is the Dodgers.
Dodgers is right.
In the National.
So I got to ask you, as long as we're doing a troika here, the Bucks, and they win, and Tom Brady, did he look good? Did he do the job?
That would have been like the third preseason game, I think, and I think you start to see things get better. And Leonard Fournette, the new running back that we got, established himself as the number one, and I think you're going to see a lot of Leonard Fournette that they got from Jacksonville for nothing.
So they beat the Carolina Panthers. What about the defense of the Bucks? Is that going
phenomenal
to be a factor?
Oh boy,
you like it?
This could be one of the better defenses of all time for the Bucks.
If that's the case, we got a heck of a team.
And they're so young. The secondary is so young.
Yeah, this is exciting.
So, yeah.
Hey, we're excited. We got in Tampa Bay.
And isn't it great? All our teams are great, and we can't go watch either one of them.
And we can't go and see them up front and personal. That's very frustrating. You're right about that, Ed. Okay, over to the drums. We have the top 10 most bizarre deaths in history. Now, don't ask me why I came up with it, but I happened to find one of these, and I thought, we would like to know. How did they die, right?
Anybody in blue, were any one of these people friends with the Clintons?
We'll find out.
Uh-oh.
It comes from thetop10s.com. Here we go, number 10. Number 10 is a poor soul by the name of Hans Steininger. In around the 15th century, Hans Steininger, who was a burgomaster, stumbled on his own beard and died from breaking his neck. They must have had a hell of a long beard.
Did you at least help him up or not?
No. Hey, listen, that's a real cheap shot. Just for that, I'm going to come up with my big jokes. Okay, number 9. Adolf... help him up. You're a rat. Adolf Frederick. You remember him, Ed? No. Weren't you buddies with Adolf Frederick?
No.
Because he was the king of Sweden, okay, in the 1770s. And he died of stomach problems when he ate a large set of meals of lobster and 14 servings of semla desserts. That's a sweet-tasting roll from Sweden. And he died of a huge stomach ache. True.
Wow.
Okay, number 8. Robert Williams. Now, that's not the basketball player, but Robert Williams had a was a factory worker who worked in an assembly plant. He was the first documented person to be crushed and killed by a robot's arm when he climbed into a storage rack.
Hmm.
He should have turned the robot off. All right, number 7. Kurt Gödel. This was a known logician and mathematics man who feared being served by other people other than his wife, since he was paranoid of getting poisoned. When his wife was sent to the hospital for more than several months, he eventually died of starvation due to his fear.
Mm.
What a dope. Number 6, Martin the Humane. That's what his name was. Okay. The classic bizarre way of succumbing to death, laughter. Although the reason of his death is vague and lacking in evidence, rumors abound that he died of laughter around 1410 A.D. while suffering from indigestion. The cause of the indigestion, he ate an entire goose. That might have been musty. Yeah, I got to get going. You're right. Number 5, man killed by meteorite, 1888. Believe it or not, meteorite hit him on the head. Number 4, Claudius Drusus. He was playing, he threw a pear skywards, it returned caught inside his mouth, and he choked to death. Number 3, Aeschylus, famous story around 456 BC. Aeschylus died because an eagle dropped a tortoise on him.
Ouch.
They used to drop tortoises on hard objects so that they could get to the meat after they had gotten them. Okay, number two. This is your friend Charondas, back around the 5th century BC. He helped establish a law that whoever brought weapons into the court must be executed. He did. He was executed. Number 1. Philetus, known for his paranoia and obsession of correction of errors, he tried to polish his knowledge of word errors and arguments so hard, he starved himself to death.
All right. One ate himself to death, the other one starved himself.
Yeah, indeed. There you go. Freedom Works. We'll be back tomorrow.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
AP News. Good morning, I'm Ed Donahue.
She was a legend.
President Trump is praising the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
She represented something different than you or I or somebody else may really agree with.